When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Coming up on show 902, the Berlin made Model Y will use battery day technology. Big news today. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Plus, Volvo's XC40 Recharge gets an EPA range rating, the Hummer EV gets an unveiling date, and Europeans keep buying pure electric cars. But why? We'll find out on today's show. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Wednesday, 7th of October. My name is Martin Lee. Thank you for listening today. I go through every EV story, I follow all the different people online, and I just filter out the noise to tell you in 20 minutes every day what you need to know to save you that time. This is mega news to kick off today. The Berlin-made Model Y is going to use battery day technology. This is a big new piece of information. Following battery day, I thought that I kind of reasonably understood batteries. Yeah, it turns out I knew nothing. It was like putting together a 1,000-piece jigsaw and I had the corner pieces. I had to go away, did a lot of work, a lot of study, so that when I came on this podcast and broadcast to you, I was able to tell you the news, but also which bits I thought were important and which were less so, because you can't do that unless you understand it. And I think I'm like 5% of the way there still. But one of the missing pieces of the jigsaw was the timeline. So we knew the pilot plant of Tesla were making their own cells and they've got it going in California and it's a year away from and being finished. But then what happens to the cells? Well, we found out yesterday that they're going to be used in the plaid version of the Model S to get those ridiculous specs. But then how quickly can they roll that out? Now, the machines, I think the machine, they didn't mention this on battery day, but I think I've read something a while ago that the actual machines they're using come from South Korea and they've got these orders in for the rest of their Gigafactory. So they will be making these cells, these bigger cells, like a baked bean tin size cells in California, in Shanghai, in Berlin, in Texas, in Austin. And so we didn't know where these cells were going to be made first once the pilot line was completed from version 4, which they're on at the minute, to version 6, and also what vehicle it was going to be used in. So all of those bits were missing parts of the jigsaw. We knew that Model S plaid was probably going to have to use them because, frankly, if you could do that spec car with the current technology, you would. And because it's still over a year away, even though you can order it now, it was a fair assumption that those cells were needed to hit those crazy specs of speed and top speed and 520 miles of range plus. But we didn't know whether it was going to be Cybertruck or Semi or Roadster. It turns out, actually, it's going to be the cash cow. It's going to be the everyman car. It's going to be the Tesla Model Y gets this technology first. And it's not going to be at headquarters in California. And it's not going to be at Gigafactory 2, at Giga Shanghai. It's going to be Gigafactory Berlin. And it starts to make more sense because Elon tweeted today with this news. And even like 3 or 6 months ago, maybe Elon was doing a site visit to Berlin at some point. And I remember him saying the phrase, he just looked at the cameras and was like, the Model Y is going to look the same on the outside, but it's going to be completely different underneath. You know, the journalists and bloggers there nodded and moved on. And that really stuck with me because I always wondered how different would it be to the American-made and the Chinese-made Model Y? Like, it'll look the same, but underneath? What does he mean it'll be completely different? And, well, now we know, because the battery is going to be using these new 4680 cells. They call them that because it's the dimensions. It's 46 millimeters in radius by 80 millimeters in length, and these cells give Tesla an advantage on power, on cost, and it's really surprising that the first place they're going to roll them out is going to be in Germany at Giga Berlin on the Model Y. So Elon confirmed on Twitter today in answering a question to say that actually at that facility they will use the new cells and the new structural battery pack. So the battery pack, which is a whole new way of thinking about how to put those cells rather than into lots of smaller modules and make them into a battery pack and have all the associated kind of gubbins and heating and cooling around them, which adds weight and expense to the cells, will go straight to a battery pack, and the cooling, the thermal management of those cells is being totally changed, and the battery pack itself becomes the structural element of the bottom of the car, much more lightweight. The front and the back of the car are going to be single cast pieces of the Model Y, and they bolt directly onto it. People have had questions about repairability, but Elon addressed that today as well. So a big day, not quite a tweet storm, but a big day of news. According to Teslarati, the confirmation of these new cells and the structural battery pack for the Made in Germany Model Y is big news for electric cars. During Battery Day, Tesla took a very conservative stance when announcing its battery production targets, a strategy that appears to have confounded and disappointed Wall Street. That said, the company did show subtle signs that it may be ready to produce vehicles with the new cells and the new battery packs sooner than expected. I thought that Elon could have been the showman that day. You know, it wasn't throwing steel balls at a window of a car. You know, he could have just off stage or, you know, in his pocket have pulled out one of these new cells and held it up and gone, and here it is. And ta-da! And, it, you know, that would have been the photo moment that would have been pictured and printed a million times around the world the next day. But he didn't pull one of these cells out. It was very engineering heavy, pretty hardcore engineering, lots of slides, and kind of nerdy, kind of geeky. And also, he didn't say, really, which car was going to get it first. Like, we knew it was going to... We thought Plaid. Well, I wasn't sure, but I was like, well, how would they do it if they didn't use that? And I presumed Cybertruck. I presumed Semi-truck. I never in a million years thought Model Y next summer is the first one that gets this. So the Model Y coming out of Europe will be totally different to the ones coming out of China and the US in terms of everything that you can't really see. Structurally, it's going to be crazy different. And that's so important because these new cells that they have give you something like 5 times more energy, 16% more range, 6 times more power. Sandy Munro did the numbers on this, and rather than having 4,500 cells in the current long-range Model Y, there will be 960 of them. I think they even flashed up on a slide as well. Or 960 cells will be much easier to make, much cheaper to make. Battery Day also said cell-to-pack technology means 370 fewer parts. It's all coming to the Model Y coming out of Berlin. So, yeah, big story today. And like I say, it wasn't quite a tweet storm, but I've got a big chunk of text from Elon that that I've assembled from his tweets. And he says this today, and I quote, Berlin will use 4680 cells with structural battery pack and front and rear single-piece castings. Also, a new paint system. A lot of new technology will happen in Berlin, which means significant production risk. Fremont and Shanghai will transition in around 2 years, but when the new technology is proven. We do expect to make heavy use of LFP for medium-range cars and stationary storage. Prototypes are a piece of cake, but high-volume production of a new technology is extremely hard. Takes much longer than people think to climb the production S-curve. I can't emphasize enough that production is by far the hardest part. Bringing a new product to volume production is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. You do still need that critical seed of inspiration, but it's fun and takes around 100 people. Production takes over 10,000 people and hurts like hell until the gigantic cybernetic collective runs smoothly. The Model 3 production ramp was sheer agony for 2 years, but that was do or die for Tesla. No US car company has reached high volume production with sustained free cash flow in 100 years. Hundreds of car startups all died or were absorbed by peanuts by the big three. battery packs will be bonded structures, with cells providing shear transfer between the steel upper and lower face sheets, eliminating most of the centre body parts, while providing better torsional rigidity and improved polar movement or inertia. This is a major breakthrough. The crash absorption rails can be cut off and replaced with a bolted part for collision repair. End quote. So lots of stuff in there, a lot of stuff to unpack over coming, you know, days and weeks as we get ahead around what that means for, you know, electric cars. But it does mean that Berlin gets its new technology first. In a couple, it'll take around 2 years for California and Shanghai to get it. And you would presume that maybe if that tech, well, Austin is a blank sheet of paper, so you think Austin would probably get that technology as well after Berlin, because they're not having to retrofit and take things out and close factories down and shut down lines. But interesting in there how he talks about how the cells in the pack will be cooled on the top and bottom rather than running coolant through the sides of the cells in a kind of zigzag wavy line through. The plates on the top and bottom where it meets the ends of the cell, that will be used, those face sheets, for the thermal management, which takes out so many parts and so much cost and weight as well in a pack. And it makes it stronger, and it still means that you can repair the cars. If you need to, the crash absorption rails can be cut off and new ones bolted on. So big story today, 10 minutes in, a mega story actually today, and how differently Battery Day could have been perceived if Tesla had gone down the showbiz route. You know, they could have had a Model Y on the stage. They could have said, this car is going to be coming out of Berlin in 8 months' time and it'll have these cells in, you know, and it would have cut through with the media much more. Elon has since complained about the fact that the media don't get it. And I agree with that, but I would also say that you need to explain things. You need to put press releases out to journalists, to those kind of bloggers that were not given, that Elon thought weren't giving them the right treatment. And you've got to explain, because, you know, I had the time to go away and do that research, but if you're under pressure to get an article up in half an hour, I don't know, for these news sites and EV sites and stuff, to, you know, to be first or to get an article up, but then you're not going to have time to do that critical thinking. Anyway, big story. That could have been a whole podcast, that I couldn't it? But let's move on. Volvo, couple of Volvo stories. They've confirmed they're going to build a new small electric crossover based on a platform developed to underpin vehicles for their future cars, from Polestar, Lotus, and even the electric London taxis, which are owned by parent company Geely. Says Jalopnik, Volvo has a plan to boost sales over the next 5 years, and that includes a new entry-level car. There'll be the XC40, electric cars, there'll be the XC90 all electric by 2022. And according to Automotive News, Volvo confirming this new small electric car will be a major part of their fleet, and it'll be pure battery electric. It's on the roads in 2025 and using their new SEA platform, Sustainable Experience Architecture, in case you were wondering. Good news, but, you know, 5 years away. So, good news, but, you know, 5 years away. I like to be positive, always, as much as I can. You know, it's good news, but, you know, it's 5 years away. Right, let's talk about range. Let's talk about range. And yesterday, the big story was the Polestar 2 getting a little bit less EPA-rated range than many people would have thought, actually. However, the EPA now have the details moments later of the car, which is engineering-wise very similar to the Polestar, but with a Volvo badge on, and it's an SUV shape. The XC40 Recharge gets a range from the EPA of 208. And while that wouldn't be terrible on its own, it looks a little bit grimmer when you realise that the battery pack, 78 kilowatt hours, is the same as the Polestar 2 and gets a few miles on EPA, says CNET. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that, but let's go with what CNET says. Part of it has to do with the body shape of the XC40, less slippery than the Polestar, or the Model Y from Tesla, for instance. Wind resistance is a surefire way to eat up range, they say. That shape difference would account for the approximately 11% worse range than the Polestar. Even if things are better in practice than they are on paper, 208 as a headline number is going to be a challenge for those people walking into the dealerships or going online and seeing that number, 208. So, again, I think the biggest job we need to do, apart from actually build the darn cars, but that'll be done by people far more intelligent than I, is to educate everybody else, like the people who are EV curious and people who want to know, well, you know, is 208 a good number or a bad number? Well, it doesn't really mean anything until you work out what you want the car to do in your life, and you realize if you're driving around town all day, then that 208 becomes 308 because if you're doing 30 miles an hour. So, you know, it's difficult. You've got to give some commonality to rating cars. You've got to give them a number, but we know it'll do more than 208 in real life, like the Porsche Taycan. So I'm not EPA bashing, because goodness knows it's more realistic than the system we use, but still, does it matter? I don't know. I think for those that compare the numbers and they just go on that, they'll look at the Teslas and they do more on paper, and you'll wonder if you should get that instead. But real world, how many miles are you driving every day? If you do a road trip, where will you recharge? You know, the styling of the Volvo is certainly something that people will be more brand loyal to if they've had a few of them. So it's not as black and white as many people would want you to believe if you read the comment sections of certain websites saying, well, unless you've got more range than a Tesla, everybody will buy a Model Y. Simply not true. GMC's Hummer is coming. Not a car that I would have in my driveway because my driveway's not that big. But it will be unveiled during the World Series. A big-time vehicle reveal deserves a prime-time debut, and that seems to be the opinion of the folks tasked with introducing the Hummer on October 20th. It's going to be pure EV, and it's going to be under the GMC badge. Instead of a standalone brand with dealerships full of gas-guzzling off-road beasts, the new, kinda gentler, fully electric Hummer won't sip gas at all, says Jalopnik. The debut will take place across several channels, as has been the de facto process during the pandemic. The event will be live streamed online, of course, but they will also, much like the other big car launches have done this year, like the Bronco back in July, be witnessed by people watching TV, the World Series on Fox, The Voice on NBC. At the same time, the same mini documentary will run on broadcast media to tell people all about the Hummer. 1,000 horsepower, 0-60 in 3 seconds, crazy big, crazy fast. Good for the environment, sort of. I mean, building cars is not good in any way for the environment, but okay, better than running on combustion engines, and it'll have removable roof panels, and it'll even do the crab. Moving on, here in Europe, we love our electric cars. From Matthias Schmidt on Twitter, who says the perfect storm led to 90,000 pure electric cars being registered in September. That's 7.5% of the market. Year to date, over 400,000 battery electric cars have been registered in Europe. That is more than the entire year last year, and there's still 3 months to go. Total plug-in market share, so cars that are including hybrids, and if it's got a plug socket on, it remains on target to be 1 million in Europe this year. Great stats. I love giving out stuff like that because it's just so positive. As Tesla just announced recently, their all-time record Q3 deliveries of 139,000 units and producing 145,000 of them in the three-month quarter that we've just finished. The company needs to deliver another record by quite some way to hit the 500,000 promised cars this year. And I did say back on Battery Day's podcast, it was either the preview or the review episode, I believe Tesla can do 500,000 cars this year, which seems like a crazy number, but if you run the numbers on Fremont and Shanghai, they can get there. Just an Elon Musk emailing the staff today to say the same thing, emailing employees to say there is a chance that Tesla could do 500,000 units for the first time in their history, and just smash the previous record. From Elon, I quote, "When we started Tesla just over 16 years ago, I never thought we'd get this far, but thanks to your hard work and ingenuity, we actually have a chance of making 500,000 cars this year." That's incredible. And it all comes down to Q4. Please take whatever steps you can think of to improve output, end quote. So that is a bit of rallying of the troops from Mr. Musk there. You know, if they get 450, 475, that will still be a massive win for the company that did a seven or eight week shutdown for COVID earlier this year. Stellar. Right, Elon will be smiling if he gets another big payday. The upcoming quarterly report could put another $3 billion in chief execs Elon's pocket, says Autoblog. The six-month rolling average of the stock market value hit $250 billion as the milestone, which heads towards triggering the fourth of his 12 paydays. Well, they're not really paydays. They're options to buy shares at a much lower price. Of course, you're not just given shares. You have to buy them. And that is actually quite expensive. Which is why Elon may have been selling houses and things recently to secure his fourth tranche of options. The Tesla must hit a goal related to revenue and profitability. That could happen in the Q3 report. I don't think we have a date for that yet. Each tranche gives Elon the option to buy 8.5 million shares at $70. That's about a sixth of the current price. And if you look at the current stock price, which is $4.20, nice. Elon will theoretically be able to sell the shares, not that he would, but he could sell them for $11.8 billion. Not that he would. I think he'll just rack up the shares in the company and then use them for, I don't know, going to Mars or something. But nice payday. Not that it's a payday. Nice payday. Two more stories. PG&E, a little public service announcement for you, for my American listeners on the West Coast. Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, are putting a reminder out that residential customers that have bought or leased an EV can apply for $800. It's called a clean fuel rebate, and it ends at the end of the year. It's a one-time payment, $800 for PG&E customers if you have an EV, and that's on top of any federal and state incentives. And it started in 2017, but it comes to an end on December 31st, end of the year. Get your application in, like 145,000 people have done. And finally, I love this. This is so cool. Tour boat passengers can now experience the wonder of the natural world, Niagara Falls, undisturbed by diesel exhaust fumes. No engine noise, no vibration, after a pair of vessels installed with all-electric propulsion from ABB have now been approved to enter service, and it starts today. Power is drawn from a high-capacity battery pack that's supplied by ABB. There's a pair of packs that are 316 kilowatt-hours apiece. They're catamaran hulls, so there's a level of redundancy there to safeguard operations, because you don't really want the boat not working somewhere like Niagara Falls. But the batteries allow for the electric propulsion motors to reach an output of 400 kilowatts, and they're charged using locally produced hydroelectricity, plenty of that around in the area, ensuring that the energy cycle for these new ferries is emissions free. Takes them 7 minutes to charge as passengers are disembarking and boarding. I'll pop a link to ABB's website in the show notes if you'd like to read more. And that's your show for today. Hope you enjoyed it. Get in contact on socials and email me hello@evnewsdaily.com. I don't really mention Patreon that much, but if you get any value out of this show, if you think you learn something, if you're entertained, if you've picked things up, if it's inspired you to, you know, learn more or be interested in the things that we talk about, then I would invite you to have a look at the Patreon page. It's the only way that I get paid for doing this and for my time and putting this together. We don't run ads, we don't run commercials, we don't split this up into a thousand different bits and it constantly interrupts you. So it's the only way that we say this is how it happens. Now look, we've had COVID this year. The most important thing is that we all look after ourselves and you look after yourself. So maybe now's a bad time to be mentioning this, but I'll put it out there. It's patreon.com/evnewsdaily. And if you can, it's like $5 or $10, like one or two posh coffees a month. It would be appreciated. But like I say, it's been a tough year. Absolutely no pressure. I can imagine what some people have been through. But thank you very much for listening to that. My premium partners, on Patreon. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com supplying exceptional hardware. Derek Riley has got a brilliant YouTube channel called the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and also our latest sponsor, Richard at R. Simons, rsymons.co.uk. They are the electric vehicle specialists here in the UK. Have a wonderful day. I will catch you for Thursday's show. Have a wonderful day. Oh, by the way, don't forget, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.